a few scriptures here. If you want to tear one off and read it when your time comes, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you, praise team, for leading us into God's throne. I got the impression from your music that God's pursuing us. It's one song. Wow. And isn't that what we're talking about these few Sundays when we're talking about the battle that's raging around us? You know, I've got a different view of news this week. See if yours is changing. I used to think it was about left and right, about conservatives and liberals, about Republicans and Democrats, about light and dark. But you know, I think there's a battle going on. It's not all about Trump versus the rest of the world. We're giving the wrong name to things, really. As I thought about, as you listen to the news this next week with that in mind, that there's a battle out there, it could change the way you view things. It could. Well, Mike did a very good job last Sunday on showing us why we're in this battle. And this morning we're going to look at how to deal with this battle. What are some of the weapons that are available to us? I didn't like the word weapons, although Scripture uses that. I'm a pacifist, and so weapons isn't... I think of weapons as being an instrument that's used to defend or to use offensively. So let's go with the second definition that Webster gives us, and I like this a lot better. It's a means employed to disarm or persuade or get the better of. A means to get the better of or disarm, as you look at weapons of spiritual warfare. And I like to use from a text a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And if somebody has those, that's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, you can read that at this point. 2 Corinthians 10.
For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Thank you, Scott. Hear these words from the Message, which is a lot longer than the version that Scott read, but I think it helps us to understand what Paul is saying here. From 2 Corinthians 10, the world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. We're going to talk about different tools, different instruments this morning than what the world uses. When I first saw or thought about weapons for our spiritual warfare, I thought of Ephesians 6. The Bible says that's to fight Satan. But we're going to go with just a little different kind of weaponry this morning, instruments or means. We'll use means. Because Ephesians 6 is coming, you'll hear that in a Sunday or two. Ephesians 6 has us put on the armor of God, and let me tell you that Jesus has us clothed. He has us covered. I don't know how you want to take covered, but in Ephesians 6. But we're going to look at, let me say up front, I'm going to be extremely, extremely practical this morning. When I looked at my notes this morning, I thought, do I really want to do this? And so I know I should take my shoes off so that I don't aren't too hard on your toes, but some of what I'm going to share is out of my own life, and so it's my own toes that I'm stepping on. You need to know that.
Do you have your steel tips on?
No, I do not. No. We are in a spiritual battle. We've heard this before, and we'll hear this in some more Sunday mornings. Every single day, there's a battle raging in the spirit. I think we don't see some of the battle that's going on. But in the spirit realm and in our hearts, in each of our hearts, there's a battle raging. Whether it's in society, we see that in our society, in our culture. God is trying to draw us toward himself and righteousness, and he's trying to influence us to live with him so that his blessings will come over our lives. But at the same time, and this is the other side of the battle, Satan is trying to steal our hearts away from God. In this all-out battle against the Lord, the enemy is pouring out all the trash and corruption that he can into our lives. And we can talk about how that happens, but I think we know. Most of us, even Christians, don't recognize that the intense battle being waged all around us each day. But we don't really know the spiritual significance of our choices, of our words, and of our actions. The devil can't control you outside of your will. When I see in the paper that the person that's in trouble says that the devil made me do it, I really wonder about that. The devil really can't have us act outside of our will. There's some choosing that goes on in our own lives. So if we recognize what is happening in the spirit realm, we can begin to take proper action to improve our situation. Westerners believe that all demons are over in the third world countries. I think Mike shared this with us last Sunday. My recent trip to Africa has me thinking differently. When I asked the church leaders, and I met with about 14 different pastors over there, and two of those guys were church planters, I asked them, what is suppressing your church growth? And I was really sobered by their response. I didn't even want to hear this. And their response was America's influence. Can you believe this? America's influence is suppressing the church, the growth of the church in Ghana, Africa, and probably other places. I said, well, what do you mean by that? They said, your movies. Your movies show violence, the breakdown of the family, the lack of respect for authority. And think about our movies. By the way, if you go to Africa, people don't have cars. What they all do have is a cell phone. And so they're connected to the world. And so they're seeing, lack of respect, sexuality confusion. Like, don't you guys understand things? They would say. America dress styles. That's confusing people in Africa, in the third world countries. I say all this to say that we tend to look at things as being normal and natural for our day and age, but we miss the fact that many of the things that are happening have a spiritual influence. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 12. Our struggles are not against, and Mike shared his last Sunday, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. That's from Ephesians 6. So in a spiritual battle, your actions are important. Most of us recognize actions as important in the physical realm. For example, if I drive, I go home White Oak Road from here, and if I drive 75 miles on White Oak Road, where the speed limit is 35 or 40 some places, this is a duh. I may not get caught, but I might get a ticket, or I might cause an accident, and tickets cost money, and they can put points to your driver's license and whatever. That's the consequences. But there's more to life than this surface kind of thing. Spiritual dynamics are constantly taking place, and some of these we are aware of, and some of them we are not. Like venting your anger, frustration, or unforgiveness affects you whether it affects anyone else or not. Think about that. Unforgiveness, anger, affects you whether it affects anybody else. Do we think about that? John 1:20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You aren't going to accomplish God's purposes by getting in the flesh, giving into anger, and losing your temper. So when we get into strife, we're flinging the door wide open and saying, come on in, Satan, and do the worst you can in my life. Who wants to invite that kind of a possibility? You're drawing the big target on your back and saying, shoot your best shot, Satan. You may think it doesn't matter if you get mad at the driver who cut you off on the highway, but think about the spiritual dynamics. Think about the spirit, what's going on in the spirit world. Psalms 141:3. You need to set a, well, I'm sorry, somebody has that. Psalms 141, verse 3.
Psalms Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips.
Set a watch over my mouth, before my mouth. Ooh. And another one from first, from 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Our words are important. You may be praying for one thing, but speaking against what you're praying for. I'm going to be practical. This could step on some toes. Example, we might be praying for a restoration in our marriage, yet we constantly criticize, beat down, and speak negatively about your marriage on the other hand. Can you get the picture? We are releasing a negative spiritual force, which is death. That will counter what you're praying for, the opposite. Somehow we don't associate the words we use and our actions with the results we're experiencing. I think that's a key statement. Somehow we are not connecting the dots. We don't associate the words that we use and our actions with the results that we're getting. With their experience. Sometimes our culture markets misinformation and half-truths. We may soon arrive at this kind of conclusion. I can't help it, it's just the way that I am. Did you ever say that? Or what's your favorite one-liner? That's the I'm not responsible lie. I can't help it, that's just the way that I am. That's a lie. Examine the excuses you keep coming up with to justify your behavior. Like, and I do this, I'm not the only one. If everybody does it, does that mean that God doesn't take that seriously? Or another one, I don't see any harm in it. Who gave you authority to say what's right and wrong in God's eyes? In other words, playing God. Or I'll just try it once. So if you just try it once, does that mean there's no consequences? Think about your own personal one-liners. You probably have one. Think about that. Where's that leading you? Well, the Bible says in James 4:7 that resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist means to actually fight against. I mean, you have to stir yourself up. The godly use of anger is what you need to do here, if there is something like that, and get mad at the devil. When we get to the place where we can say, I've had it, enough is enough, this is it. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you put your foot down and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Saying, dear devil, please leave me, that's not resisting. And that's, I'm often at that place. God isn't going to rebuke the devil for you. You have to stand up and resist. The moment you receive Christ, you take the possessions of what God did for you 2,000 years ago. Colossians 2:10, in him Christ you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Remember, Satan roams around like a hungry lion, looking and sounding ferocious. In reality, he has been declawed. But if he can deceive you into believing that he can chew you up and spit you out, he can control your behavior, and that's just what he wants. Satan can do nothing about your position in Christ. He might cloud your perspective, and he might diminish your faith. But the Bible says we need to resist. We need to resist that. This is one of my favorite subjects, words. Another way that we can protect ourselves from the enemy, words. We've heard this before and it's come to us really strong through Living Streams. Matthew 9:21 had a woman with an issue of blood, and she had this for, I believe it was 12 years in Matthew. And the woman said, if I may touch but his clothes, talking about Jesus, I shall be whole. Jesus turned and saw her, and the woman was healed that very instant. Faith flows through our words. Words relieve either life or death. We know this. We've heard this before. Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, words can be your salvation or words can be your damnation. How often have we said to somebody, "How are you?" That's a common greeting. And you responded, and don't respond this way, "I feel like I'm dying." And I just said faith can speak through our words. You can't expect to speak death out of your life and receive life. You can't expect to speak death out of your mouth, out of your mouth and receive life. It just doesn't work that way. How can we get this, I call it a biblical law, into our minds? If that's too strong, we'll say it's a principle. When the woman in Matthew 9 put this spiritual principle into effect, the power of God began to flow. It took me about 70 years to learn this principle. And some of you have a little space yet to do that. And I'm going to put it into the physical realm now because we can understand this a lot easier. Often did I use in my life, "I feel like I'm getting sick." I no longer say that. I'll never say that except for right now. Because that, if you say you're going someplace with this, you're speaking negatively. I might think this now, but I'll never say that with my mouth. I'll never say that. And you know what's happened in my life the last 5 years? This is in the physical realm. I was trying to count this past week, but I've had probably 75% less colds and flu symptoms. And the only thing I can figure out is because I no longer say those bad words. The power of words. Let's get this biblical law in our minds. We use words very loosely. You need to put a guard over your mouth and think about what's coming out of there next. If that can make such a difference in the physical world, how about in the spiritual realm? A method to get the better of Satan is through praise and worship. We know this. This is not new. When we worship, we focus on God's holiness and his worthiness. When we praise God for what he has done, we soon find ourselves praising him for who he is. We did that this morning. The Bible says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That's from Psalms 29. The Bible also said that God inhabits in the praises of his people. God inhabits in the praises of his people. That's from Psalms 22:3. And Mike, in our elders' prayer this morning, Mike prayed that. But in other words, God dwells in the atmosphere of his praise. Wow, think about that. God was inhabiting this morning in our praises. Someone have Acts 16, verses 25 to 30. Acts 16, 25 to 30.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake at the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, "What must I do to be saved?"
Thank you, Grace. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. What a flimsy excuse to be in jail. Actually, it's a great excuse. And so they were put into an inner cell, and their feet were put into stocks. I mean, this is not just a place to hang out for a little bit. This was serious with Paul and Silas. But at midnight, as Grace read, Paul and Silas were singing hymns and praying. And some other prisoners were listening. As a result of their praise, a great earthquake came that opened the prison doors. Praise was a channel in which God's power operated in Paul and Silas' circumstances and brought them deliverance. Praise opens the door to God's presence, and it is a weapon in our spiritual warfare. Another thing that will help us to ward off the evil influence in our life is the word of testimony. Some of this is kind of new to me, and this is a fascinating study. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Giving your testimony concerning struggles and trials in your life and how we overcame them by the help of the Holy Spirit not only glorifies God, but is a powerful offensive weapon against the devil. The enemy doesn't like it when we share with others about the things the Holy Spirit has done on our behalf. Our testimony not only increases our faith, but the faith of those listening. Some years ago, and you might have been along with this trip, we went to a church in Philadelphia where it was a black congregation, and the pastor would say, "Do I have a witness?" That phrase has never left my mind. Do I have a witness? And he usually shared that after he shared some scripture. And he would say, "Do I have a witness?" And somebody would share their testimony at that point. I love the time at New Beginnings, and it happened just 20 or 30 minutes ago, where we say, "Are there any prayer requests or praises? Are there any praises?" And to hear things like, "I went fishing all day on Saturday, but I didn't catch any fish, but I was a fisherman." Yes. Or I hear things like, this morning, "God is opening doors." Yes, we recognize that God is active, he's alive, he's working. Or something happened in the physical realm in my health that baffles the doctors. I think the prayer was the answer to that, my healing. Wow, how often do we hear that here? I don't think the devil likes that. Our personal testimonies. We need to experience the power of God working in our lives and then share that. How God has changed circumstances in our lives. Another way to come against another weapon. Pleading the blood of Jesus, "I do this very little, I need to do this more," means to apply the blood to our lives and circumstances just as the Israelites applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts. Exodus 12 says that when they applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost, they were protected from the destroyer. Protected from the destroyer. Exodus 12, 13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there will be no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Shortly after I was married, I came back to school and volunteer service and came back to Pennsylvania. And the men at Chickies asked me to sing in a male court octet, which is eight guys singing, harmonizing. And that was fun. It helped me to get my feet back on the ground, being a middle 20s, 30-year-old. But the leader of our octet was, his name was John, and he loved to sing songs with blood in them. And so we would say kind of cattingly, "John, you have any blood songs for us to sing this week?" And we'd sing at other churches and also at Chickies. Songs like, okay, did you ever hear this song? Like, "There is power in the blood." Oh, did? Okay. Wow, you got more experience. You're older than I thought you were. Or, "What can wash away our sins?" You know what the rest of that is? "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Blood songs. I don't know contemporary music well enough. Some of you youngins, are there contemporary songs with blood in them? There surely are. Laura, do you know any? Blood songs. "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die." Wow. That was my first hands-on experience with sharing the blood of Jesus in the way that I could through music. Romans 12:11. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 11:31 caught my attention. Why would Rahab, a prostitute, make the faith list? By faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. Do you know the story? Know the Rahab story? Rahab used a red cord as a token of the blood and was saved when Jericho fell. She had hidden the spies when Joshua had sent to spy out the land, and because of her, they were kept safe from the king who was going to kill them. And before they left her home, she asked them to protect her. In response to her request, they told her, and this is from Joshua, the second chapter, "Stay under scarlet cord and you will be safe. Stay under the scarlet cord and you will be safe." These men were taught about Passover. They knew that the lamb of the blood, that the lamb's blood protected them. And maybe they were the oldest child, it could be. So get under the cord in the blood of Jesus and stay there. I think Satan wants us to forget about the blood. Pay no attention to it, the devil would say. Don't talk about it, don't sing about it, don't study about it. Get under the blood of Jesus. Another way to circumvent darkness in our lives. And I'm going to call this in bitterness versus forgiveness. Most of the ground that Satan gains in the lives of Christians is due to unforgiveness. Most of the ground that Satan gains is due to unforgiveness. We're warned to forgive others so that Satan cannot take advantage of us in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Why is unforgiveness so critical? Because of the cross, God didn't give us what we deserve. He gave us what we needed according to his mercy. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. You know, forgiveness is a choice. Don't wait to forgive until you feel like you want to forgive, because you may never get there. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is a choice. God requires us to forgive. It's difficult because we want revenge for the offenses that hurt us. We forgive because Christ forgave us. When we bring up the past against others, we have not forgiven them. Forgiveness deals with your pain, not another's behavior. Forgiveness deals with your pain and not another's behavior. Well, to kind of sum things up, we may be locked up in habits that we can't seem to break. Our most important defense against the life of bondage is recognizing the enemy and knowing how to defeat him. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil an opportunity. Opportunity means giving him territory or giving him ground. Anger gives ground to the devil. Bitterness invites him to occupy space in your heart. Begin the process of forgiveness. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise and worship instead of allowing the garbage of the world to fill your mind. Be involved in praise and worship. Be quick to share your testimony. It doesn't have to be even in this kind of a setting. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Don't give Satan the time of day. He doesn't play fair. Apply the blood of Jesus in your situation and tell the devil to pack his bags and get out of there. I'm so helped by the praise team when they bring to the screen things like, I'm a child of God. That's a very positive. I think the devil doesn't want me to say that. I'm a child of God from John 1:12. Or I'm the son of God from Galatians 3. Or I'm the light of the world. We sing this and we say this. Or I believe that the truth will set me free. May God help us in recognizing the truth of Scripture as it tells us how to ward off the evil one, and give us strength to do that. Some of the things I think that we shared this morning are our head knowledge. We need to get it beyond that somehow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and your word does speak to us, and your word brings life to us. And so as we go from this place, may your words just be part of our life and part of our actions. So give us strength, Father, to face head on that which is opposing you in our world, and even in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.